to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Saturday morning, June the 18th, 2011, and I am more than grateful to be with you as we take a look at some very provocative and interesting questions that people have sent me. I am so intrigued by some of the things that people send, and today I have some really wonderful questions to share with you. I'm also equally excited. We are doing a countdown, as it were, in Aspire World for the new series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping. And for those of you who are sponsors, you will be receiving a copy of this four-disc set with eight different discourses on the subject of silence. Of no thing. And a lot of people are going to be watching the program down in San Diego. For those of you up here in Northern California, we're going to be making the programs transferable, as it were, to YouTube. And you'll be able to go on YouTube in the near future and begin to see the series. In fact, Aspire, from when it started way back when I was young in 1985. And you will be able to see the whole thing. I don't think it's 85. My gosh, it even goes back further than that. Anyway, you're going to enjoy the whole thing, honestly. We're working on it diligently. It's a very long and hard project. If you would like to know a little bit more about Aspire and what it's all about, and my new programs, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, or my current programs that are showing right now on Channel 4 down in San Diego, just come to the website at aspire.org. aspire.org. You can go look at Now Showing on Aspire. You can look at the new programs. You can even listen to little snippets of the program, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, all eight of the beautiful discourses that are there that are available on CD, as well as my ones that are currently being offered, A Life Worth Living. And if you go to Now Showing on Aspire, you can click on those little snippets and hear parts of the CD that you can get and get a copy of at any time you like. It's all there on the website at aspire.org. Let's get to the questions. We'll talk a little bit more about this later. This question is by someone down in San Diego, and his name is Kurt B. And he says, you say there is no right or wrong. Then what is there? What should we be doing, and how do we know if we're doing the proper thing then? Kirby, it's very hard to answer this question based on logic and reasoning. Now, if I answer your question based in logic and reasoning, you're going to think in terms that I know what I'm talking about. We wouldn't want that to happen, would we? So I am going to just give it to you as it has happened for me. I can only hope, and I say only hope, that you understand what I'm about to teach you or try to offer to you. I don't offer pie in the sky. I don't offer theories I don't understand and stuff I don't really feel any kind of oneness with. So try to understand that. Right and wrong, good and bad, what are they? They're value judgments that I, Gregory Penn, place on any given thing. I can rationalize my evil to no end. I can do all sorts of ugly, ugly, ugly things and turn around and give you a rational reason as to why I did it and why it is so normal for me to act and live in such a manner. And I can do this at any given moment I so choose and make it sound absolutely perfect for me. And maybe even perfect for you. But that doesn't make it, quote-unquote, right and or, quote-unquote, wrong. So you ask me, you say, meaning me, Greg, there is no right or wrong. Then what is there? There is only what is happening in this present moment. I think what you're trying to say is, where is the moral value? How are we to know what is right and wrong, good and bad? Are we just here to run amok? Now, I would never tell you we are here to run amok. You know, just to do what we want to do and say what we want to say and act the way we want to act and do the ugly things we like to do, like lie, cheat, and steal, which seems to be the American pastime. We have a way of contorting everything into the place we want it to be so we can get away with whatever we want to do. And that's about as far as our life ever takes it. But I'm saying to you is, there is no should. When you start to enter into the practice and you feel the pull to want a love that exceeds the emotional needs that you have, there is no need for moral craziness like what is right and what is wrong and what is good and what is bad. There's just no need for it. The only reason I have a need for right and wrong, good and bad, is because I have no sense of consciousness. Kirby, I have none. And if I have none, as an average person, I need rules. I need you to tell me what I can and cannot do, because otherwise, I'll just do whatever my emotions and passions tell me to do. And I'll run amok. I will run a very high tab on my karma bill, and I'll just keep that going and going and going and going. Now, I don't want you to think in terms of karma as being there is right things to do and wrong things to do, and if you do the right thing, you get the good karma. If you do the wrong thing, you get the bad karma. I don't want you going into that, because that's not true either, even though that law is in effect in many different ways. So I'm double talking here, aren't I? And that's the problem with the whole thing. Unless you understand, unless you have persevered to go within, and the alternative is to move within, not right and wrong, not good and bad, but to consider the within. What is going on within me? What is the state of my withinness? Now, if intrinsic love and goodness are the state of my inner being, if it is what it is really all about within me, then enough is said. Then anything I do, anything I'm working on, anything that is important comes out of the intrinsic goodness of my being. And I'm living in that intrinsic goodness. I'm living as love itself. But if I am not into that, if my life is not about love, if it is not about the goodness of my nature, if it is not the intrinsicness, then I am going to do all sorts of things that are terribly self-destructive. And I have counseling and I have people I work with who you just can't talk out of this kind of stuff. They are what they are, they do what they want, and they believe in what they do, and that is the end of it, and there's no need to talk about it any further because they're going to do what they're going to do no matter what I think, say, or do. And that's the end of it, as I say. So, Kirby, you got to understand, there isn't right and wrong. There's only what's within you. It is called love. Beyond right and wrong, beyond good and bad, there is love, the state of authentic love. And love is beyond the ideas of right and wrong. Love is beyond emotional impression. Love is what exists within you as the very breath of your own spirit, your soul, your heart, your being. It has nothing to do with right and wrong. It has nothing to do with the goodness or the badness, the rightness or the wrongness of anything. It is about being authentic. Beyond right and wrong, good and bad, is authenticity, to be truly authentic with your life, as it is, the way it is, and through the measure of what it is. And if you can live in the authentic love that lives within you, you have created for yourself a great goodness, a great beauty, a great love. So don't be worried about right and wrong. Be focused. How can I be in an inner posture where love can affect me more deeply, more profoundly, where I can intuit my life? not as what I want and what I believe in and what I think, but I can actually intuit my life with meaning. My life has meaning only when love is present. If love is not present within me, my life has no meaning whatsoever. And I will only be looking for the rules of engagement to keep me out of trouble or make me believe that I'm doing the right thing to get the good I want. And that, my friend, is not a very kind way to live our life. Please forgive me. Namaste. In my series, A Life Worth Living, which is based on the teachings of Socrates, I talk about this whole idea of right and wrong, good and bad, and that's why Kirby brought it up. He wanted to know more about that, basically, in his email. So, and I talked to him on the phone a little bit, and so I got the gist of what he really wanted when he ordered his CDs. And by the way, you can too if you go to the website at aspire.org and go to the main page there, and you'll see Now Showing on Aspire. There's little snippets, really nice ones of the CDs that you can get that will help you. And again, I don't give you philosophy or religion. I give you something, as you can tell, that is a little different from all of that, I hope. The next one's from Lawrence in San Diego. He says, why is there such unfairness in this world? Why doesn't God do something, Lawrence? Well, yeah, damn it, God. Why aren't you doing something? My God. Oh, did I say that out loud? Ugh, hate it when I do that. I know, everybody wants God to do. God do this, God do that. God, you know this, and God, you know that. You know, and, you know, this biblical God that everybody's made up in their mind as if it were real. You know, you got to look at this guy. He's schizophrenic. He's neurotic. He's got a personality disorder, not borderline all the way. He makes, he kills, he lies. He does all sorts of things. I don't trust him either. And quite frankly, Lawrence, I agree with you. Why in the hell doesn't he do something about this damn mess he's made down here, eh? I mean, nothing he ever does turns to any good. He's got to kill his only begotten son, huh? Because he can't do it right in the first place. Jeez, God, how do you worship something that's that phony and stupid? Well, I'll tell you, you don't. Look, Lawrence, I love you dearly, and I loved your question, and I got all hepped up, and I laughed so hard when I read it that I thought, you know, how do I want to do this? You know, Henny Youngman thing, or do I want to go into like a Sam Kinison thing? You know, that kind of deal. Listen to me, my dear man. There isn't any unfairness in this world. Everything is happening according to the state of love that I can be in, the love I can feel, the love I can know, the love that blesses me, the love that is love, the love that I can experience. Lawrence, let me give you a question. Why is it that you can only feel a certain amount of love and not the totality of love in you? Why would you ever believe or think that things aren't happening just as they need to happen, the way they need to happen? What would ever make you think that was not occurring? Love is happening in proportion to the love I allow. If I'm unallowing of love, if I do not let love live me, if I am absentee of love and the only love I know is the love I believe in and I want and I think, then what good is my good? It ain't much good at all, and nor is my love. Most people have only emotional love, not real love. And real love is based on not sincerity. It's based on consciousness, on coming to compassion. If I can come to consciousness through meditation, I will have the compassion that allows me to recognize love for what it is and not what I need it to be to give me what I want. For a life worth living, please understand, Lawrence, you can't live the way you and I want to live haphazardly. We must live according to the manner of our spirit, the manner of love within us, not the love that we think of as affection, desire, passion. Human beings really struggle with the idea of love because they are so filled with need and want. We're skin-hungry children. We didn't get touched very lovingly when we were little. We didn't get much going for us in the sense of compassion and love. We were touched in frivolous ways, in demanding ways, in authoritarian ways, in seducing ways, but never in the way of love. Not real love. So, the unfairness you see is based on a person's intrinsic nature to feel love. And most people don't much care about the intrinsic love within them. They care about getting love to them. They want to be loved. They don't want to be as love. They want to be loved by other people. They really want adoration, total, complete adoration. Not compassion, not love, not kindness, but adoration. We want to be worshipped. Hence, TV programs such as American Idol and all these things. We want to be idolized for a talent, for something we have that makes us a god. Why did God make certain people so talented and other people like me so inept? You start to look at it all and it just doesn't seem fair. And I do agree with you, Lawrence. Damn it. Why doesn't God do something? Oh, I get a big kick out of humanity. It is so funny. As if, huh? As if you're this little helpless puppet. You're not. You and I are not helpless, and we're not hopeless, and we're a little hapless because of our stupidity, but that doesn't mean we can't change it all. You can change your life by entering into love. You have to want love more than wanting what you think will get you love. I say this over and over and over. And if you think God is this dude somewhere in the clouds, you know, maybe where Apple's going to be, or is, you know, with the cloud thing. If you think God's somewhere in the clouds and he's just sitting there like, you know, the Till of the Hun or Jabba the Hutt or whatever your concept is, you're wrong. It doesn't have anything to do with what you believe in, what you think, or what you want. Life is love. And until I am willing to drop my Gregory Pennisms for the sake of love, I will never know the equanimity of life. I will tell you one thing about life that I know. Just one thing. And I know this to be very true. It is impermanent. The nature of life is impermanent, and hence love is impermanent. And if you really want to know the meaning of your life, start from impermanence. And then work your way back into your life. If you do that, if you can do that, you will change the way you live from within yourself. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Why doesn't God do something? I get a kick out of that. What the hell? And, you know, I could go on and on with that, but I won't. I won't belabor it. I won't. I promised myself I wouldn't make a total ass of myself today. The last question comes from Nancy in San Diego. Where should we all be going in this life? Don't you think we're a little scattered, Nancy? Well, I don't know if you're talking about physically, mentally, or emotionally. I don't know if you're talking philosophically, religiously, or politically. I just don't know. But I'm going to assume, I'm going to make an ass of me, that what your meaning is why don't we as a whole move together into some kind of uniformity, some kind of oneness where we work together to solve our problems. And that's kind of the gist of your email, and so I'm going to go with that one. You know, Nancy, everybody has this little lever inside, this little trip cord, and it's a trip cord about selfishness. Most people live according to the degree of their own selfishness. And when a person is ripe in selfishness, which most people are, they can't go very far in their life at all. And hence, they live in very ugly ways. Now, how far you want to go with your life in your living is not something I can know. But you say, where should we all be going? Or why don't we all go together? You ask me, where should we all be going? And what I would say to you, since you asked me, is towards emptiness, silence, meditation. I have a lot of people who talk about it with me. I've had doctors and dentists and lawyers and friends and family say certain things to me. Oh, I know we should meditate, Papa. I know that's a way. But when you ask them why they don't, they never have a good answer. You know why people don't meditate and why they don't understand that meditation is the way? Because they're so enamored with their own thinking. They've trained their emotions, and their emotions have trained them. First, emotions train me and my thinking and create my thinking. And then through my thinking, I train my emotions. And this goes back and forth and back, over and over and over again. Until my world is so small, Nancy, so minute, so infantile, so childish that I can't let the intrinsic love of my heart have any influence over me at all. It's all about me. And then that's the end of it. It's about selfishness. And until humankind is willing to give up selfishness, pride, and vanity, until we are willing to love our neighbor as ourself, love our enemy as ourself, until we are willing to forgive and give, we are going to live in the mediocrity of our humanity, and nothing is going to change. I promise you, every time we find an answer to a problem, there'll be another problem created by that answer. And if you haven't noticed, that's the way it works. And if you haven't noticed, there is no answer to all of this, because you have to understand one thing. We don't want the real answer. We just want to be relieved. And because relief is more important to us than truth, we suffer grievously in our life. And that, my friend, is the bloomin' truth. And that's why. Thank you, Nancy, for emailing me. Thank you for the kind comments about the program, A Life Worth Living. It's based in the whole deal of Socrates and his teachings, and I think you'll enjoy the CDs that I sent you. And please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be able to be of service to you, and I would be honored to hear from you, just come to my beautiful new website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. Go take a look around. Now showing on Aspire, you'll see on the right updates, you'll see the program, A Life Worth Living. There's wonderful little snippets there, what I call little snippets about the program, the CDs. You get four different CDs with two discourses per CD, and you get a little snippet online. You can listen to them and see if they, you know, resonate to you. Now, to some of you, it isn't going to resonate. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It just isn't going to, you're not going to get it, and you're not going to be much interested in it, and I'm okay with that. But there'll be a few of you out there that hear what already is speaking within you. And when you hear that, you'll remember, oh, yes, I know that. And this series, you'll want the series because, well, want's the bad word, but you will definitely want to hear them, because they offer to you a recognition of what is already going on within you and how beautiful you truly are. It's the series A Life Worth Living. Go take a look. Go to the website at aspire.org. And while you're there on the main page, look to the right. You'll see updates. And if you go down to Now Showing on Aspire, you'll see, oh my goodness, there's a life worth living and all these wonderful little snippets. There's eight of them from all eight discourses, and they're only, oh, a minute, if that. And it'll give you some insights into what this particular set of series is all about. And you can order safely and securely from the website. And while you're there, why not go take a look at my new series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping. I am so excited. This is a totally different series than I have ever done on Aspire, ever done on TV. And I've been on TV since 1983, doing TV with my own program, and this is really different. There are no commercials. It's all about the zen of life. It's about the sound of emptiness, the music, and the beauty that comes from emptiness. This series is devoted to a student of mine who I dearly loved and recently passed away, Kevin. But to more than that, it's about something that both Kevin and I sought to devote our entire life to. The sound of one hand clapping. You can order the series. You can order both of them. A Life Worth Living and The Sound of One Hand Clapping. And you can hear little snippets of that, too, if you go to the website at aspire.org. And you will see new programs. And just click on that on the right-hand side. And you will see little thing there that says, listen, come and listen. I think you'll find it very helpful. I'm out of here. I will be back on the air tomorrow morning at 9:04 here on this beautiful station, KRXA. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank Hal for having me, and please, please, please forgive me. Namaste.